أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, tonight we're going to be discussing verse number 80 from Surah Yusuf. So the boys tried frantically to get Binyamin freed from the Aziz. They even offered that one of them stay in his place. But Yusuf was adamant and said, no, absolutely not. What happened next? فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. When they had despaired of him, and we'll talk about who is him. When they had despaired of him, they withdrew to confer privately. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. The eldest of them said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. Do you not know that your father has taken a solemn pledge from you by Allah? وَمِنْ قَبْلَ مَا فَرَّأْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفِ. And earlier you have neglected your duty in regard to Yusuf. فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَعْذَنَ لِي أَبِي. So I will never leave this land until my father permits me. أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Or Allah passes judgment for me and He is the best of judges. So what happens is, we're going to break this verse down, inshallah. We'll go over the verse step by step, see what's mentioned in the tafsir, and then after that, we're looking for inspiration and ways that we can serve the master of our time. We know as followers of the Ahlul Bayt that being a Muslim and serving the cause is not only about believing that truth is with Ali and that we have accepted the walaya of Ali and the awlad of Ali. That's not all it is. The Ahlul Bayt have provided us with a way to live. They've given us guidance in a way that they expect us to live. How are we going to serve their cause? What is it that God wants from us on a practical level? So let's look at the verse itself. We'll start from the beginning. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْ. When they had despaired of him. What Mufassirin tell us is most likely this means that they had despaired of Yusuf, of the Aziz, freeing Binyamin. So when they had lost hope, they no longer felt that we'll be able to convince the Aziz to allow Binyamin to come with us. There is a possibility that it's referring to Binyamin, so they had despaired of being of Binyamin. We're not going to be able to get Binyamin, but most likely it's no. We've despaired of the idea. We're not going to be able to convince the Aziz. We know who he is. He's a man of principle. We explained the situation to him. We even volunteered that one of us stay in his place, and he said, absolutely not. I would be an oppressor if I did that. So they despaired of the Aziz. خَلَصُوا نَجِيًّا. They withdrew to confer privately. At this stage, they no longer are speaking to the rest of the community. The brothers, they've now withdrawn. They're amongst themselves, and now they have to come to a conclusion. We came here with a mission. Put yourselves in the shoes of the brothers of Yusuf. We came here on a mission. We had promised our father to make sure that we would bring Binyamin back with us. Everything was working out perfectly, but now Binyamin's been captured. They, the authorities, pulled the cup of the king out of his bag. Binyamin didn't protest. Okay, so now what do we do? Do we go back to dad? Well, we said we would bring Binyamin. Do we stay? There's no benefit in staying. We've got to bring that food. So they're coming amongst one another, and now what's the conclusion? What's the action plan? What are we supposed to do? The eldest of them, when they say kabiruhum, what Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi, may Allah protect him, says, is that this is the eldest of, there's another possibility also, but the eldest of them. This individual, perhaps he had more of a conscience than the others, he provided them with an action plan. He speaks up next. What does the eldest say? Qala kabiruhum. So the eldest said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. He reminds them of what they already knew. For those of you who remember the story of Yusuf, what happened was that they were told, when Ya'qub alayhi salam finally agreed to allow Benjamin to travel with them, and at first he didn't agree. He was like, oh, you want to do the last time? What happened when I entrusted a brother to you? Oh, we're going to protect our brother. We're going to look out for him. Right? Now, what happened last time? He said, the only way I will let him travel with you is if you give me a promise by God. Remember now, you're talking to a Nabi, and they believed that he was a prophet. The promise that he took from them is that either you bring Benjamin back, unless you're completely surrounded. Otherwise, Allah is wakil. Allah will take vengeance on whoever does the wrong thing. Right? So imagine you're in the footsteps of the boys. Okay, we know we did wrong before. Dad mentioned it. We love Dad. We care about Dad. We're under extreme circumstances. The only way of us getting food is if we take our brother with us. Dad's agreed, but he's made us take that covenant. I remember what you guys did last time. The only way it's happening is if you make this covenant. So that's heavy for the brothers. Okay. So you don't remember that your father took this covenant from them? The older brother saying this. Next, he brings up the past. What happened before this? Alam ta'alamu an... Oh, that's... وَمِنْ قَبْلَ مَا فَرَّأْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفْ. Do you remember before how negligent you were about Yusuf? Because we were all part of it together, right? All of the boys, they were there. What happened last time with Yusuf? We went, and still they have a conscience. We went to Dad. We told him, we knew how much Dad cared about our brother, Yusuf. But we figured we'd do something. So what did we do? We got Dad. We told him, we're going to take him. We're going to go over fun. We're going to go outside, enjoy ourselves. Just let Yusuf come with us. Then after that, we put Yusuf in a well. We took him out of the well. We sold him into slavery based on the ahadith. Right? So we kidnapped the son of a prophet, Yusuf. Then after that, we sold him into slavery. Then after that, to add insult to injury, what did we tell Dad? We went over with, you remember the story, went over with this shirt and then put fake blood on it. And we were like, a wolf ate him. Okay? So do you remember how negligent you were? The big brother is saying this. Remember how negligent you were with Yusuf? So the big brother is now speaking. Like I said, maybe his conscience was a little stronger than the others, because in reality, these guys have tried. They even told the Aziz, they were like, Aziz, take one of us as a slave. Just let Benjamin travel. But still, he said, no. فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضِ. I will never leave Egypt. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. We tried, but I just can't. Sometimes you're in a situation where it's difficult to face the person, right? How can I go back and now I'm going to look in Dad's eyes again and again say, failure. Again say, I didn't do the right thing. I wasn't able to live up to my promises. Too much for him to take. He says, I am not going to leave the land. I'm not going to leave Egypt. He says, حَتَّى يَعْذَنَ لِي أَبِي. Until my father gives permission, إِذْن. Until my father says, that pledge that you made to bring your brother back, I'm not going to consider that binding. I'm not going to tell Allah to take vengeance. Either Dad says that, or أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي. Or God rules over me. What does that mean? Or God rules over me? Possibilities. One, by some miraculous means, Allah allows Benjamin to leave. That's not out of the power of God. From some miraculous means, he allows Benjamin to leave. Or maybe I die. Right? يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي. I die. Right? Or, something happens. But he did tell them in the next verse, you go back to Dad, though, Ya'qub, and tell him what happened. But for me, I am never leaving this land. Okay? وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. God is the best of judges. Right? So he gave them an action plan, but he said, look, I'm not going. You tell him what happened, but I can't go over and I can't face Dad. Brothers and sisters, what I'd like to talk about tonight is actually the importance of counsel. Mushawara. Shura, that we actually have shura in our lives, that we seek counsel in our lives. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Let's connect this to the verse. What happened in the verse? First, the brothers tried to do everything they could to free their brother. tried everything, every possible. We're even willing to go into slavery. Just let this young man come home. That didn't work. Withdrew from the people. Then amongst themselves, they started to talk, consultation. Can we come up with a solution? Is there a way of fixing this? What should we do? And amongst themselves, they came to that solution. The older brother gave them a roadmap, what they should do. What are we trying to remind ourselves? Brothers and sisters, in order for us to have successful lives as mu'mineen and mu'minat, we need to be people who have, where consultation plays a role in our lives. Actually, we find instructions from Quran and Sunnah, advice from Quran and Sunnah, telling us to seek counsel. Right? Even the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'll give you one example. Surah 3, verse 159. What happens is, after the Battle of Uhud, remember the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Uhud, the mu'mineen suggested, the Prophet had sought counsel from them, from the mu'mineen. Where should we fight? The Prophet wanted to fight in Medina. The mu'mineen said we should go outside of Medina. We've had success in Badr. Let's go outside. Let's fight out there. When the mu'mineen said that, then they ended up losing in Uhud, but because they wouldn't obey the instructions of the wali of the time. That's why they lost. But still, some of the mu'mineen might have felt the mistake was, how do we even dare to advise the Prophet? I mean, he asked us, but we should have just said, whatever you say, Ya Rasulallah. Right? The verse comes after that, that no, the problem isn't in seeking counsel. That wasn't a mistake. That's a good thing. So we have verses of the Holy Quran talking about counsel. That particular one that I mentioned, where Allah tells the Prophet, he says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Discuss with them, discuss the affair with them, seek counsel from them when it comes to the affair. So seeking counsel itself is not a wrong thing, that we should think that that shouldn't be in our lives. Why is it that we've been told to seek counsel, though? Why is it that we find instructions in the Quran and Sunnah? And it's a good idea for us to, we'll talk about it later. In what areas of life will we be sometimes seeking counsel? Inshallah, we'll talk about some of these things. Right? But why is it that it's important for us to seek counsel? Let's go back to the story. In the story, the brothers of Yusuf, what happened? They were under a lot of pressure, trying to bring their brother back. It didn't happen. Sometimes what happens is, if we only internalize our problems, right? I don't talk to anybody about my issue, so from anybody else. I'm under a lot of pressure, but I won't sit down with somebody else, explain it out, hear back from that person. Sometimes internalizing the problems might lead to depression. There might be a clear solution to the problem, but because I haven't spoken it out, because I'm so invested, involved, that keeps me from seeing what the solution is, right? Let me read you a hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. This is what he tells us about why it is that we should be seeking counsel. Why is it, as myself, as a mu'min, as someone who's trying to hasten the reappearance of my imam, to live my life according to Islamic principles, to keep the flag of Islam standing in these countries, why is it important for me to make sure that counsel has a role in my life? What does he say? إِنَّمَا حُدَّ عَلَى الْمُشَاوَرَ لِأَنَّ رَأْيَ الْمَشِيرِ رأي المشير صرف ورأي المستشير مشوب بالهواء. This is what he says. The reason that it's been emphasized that we actually do seek counsel, right? We go to a mushir, someone who can give us advice. Why is that? He says his opinion is undiluted. Whereas the opinion of the person who's involved in the conflict is sometimes muddled with hawa, with our whims and desires. Because I'm so involved in this particular issue, it's difficult for me to separate myself from the issue and see what the solution is. Perhaps if a third person, I explained everything out to that person, a third person will be able to see very clearly, well, actually there is a solution. If you do this, you can solve the problem. But because I'm so involved, right? Let's say that the problem I've been dealing with for a long time, right? I'm upset about it. I'm emotional about it. Let's say husband and wife, they've got issues, right? They're trying to resolve some issues, some problem. But because I'm so invested in it, I can't step back away from it and then see what the answer is. But the mustashir, so the mustashir, that's what their problem is. But the mushir, the third person, the person I'm getting advice from, because they can see it clearly, sometimes they'll be able to give me that excellent advice. We have been told, brothers and sisters, not to live our lives and be completely caught up in our own opinions. I'm a little bit big-headed. I think I'm so clever. I know everything. I don't need... Sometimes you want to even... You might see somebody's making a clear mistake. You want to share this with the person. You can see almost in their face, I've got it under control. That's for the little people. We've been told... Actually, let me give you an example. There was somebody... I don't know if this is true or not. There was somebody, he was in the Hausa. Okay? He had just joined the Hausa. So one of the brothers is watching this guy, and this guy, he's just joined the Hausa. They see him measuring his chest. So they say, brother, what are you doing? He just joined the Hausa. He said, I'm amazed how this much ilm could be in this small area. So sometimes some people are a little bit big-headed about their knowledge and how clever they are, right? I don't listen to anybody. I don't seek advice. I know everything. What does Ali say? What does Ali say? He says, "Man istabadda bi ra'yih halak." Whoever only takes him or her, only takes their opinion into consideration, halak, hilak. This person perishes. I won't talk to anybody. I won't seek anybody. Even if you dare to offer me advice, it's a free country. Come on, relax. It's not haram, brother, sister. Okay, but what happens if we do mushawara? وَمَنْ شَاوَرَ الرِّجَالِ That person who does do mashwara, does seek counsel of others. If I'm in an issue, I've come to an area, I'm stuck, I'm depressed on this issue where I need some help in, what happens? What's the benefit of actually seeking counsel from others? He says, so مَنْ شَاوَرَ الرِّجَالِ Whoever goes over and seeks counsel from other men, شَارَكَهَا فِي أُقُولِهَا actually becomes a partner in that other person's intellect. Actually, this is something else that the ulama of akhlaq, the urafa, tell us. They say that when you're going for advice, right? When you're going for advice from others, make sure that you ask, when you're asking the person for advice, you're not getting them to decide for you, right? Just tell me what to do, right? I don't want to think anymore. Just tell me this is how it should be. No, actually, no. What you're doing is you're a participant in that person's aql, right? What happens? When you explain the situation to me, I hear what you are saying. In the end, I make the decision. Now I have other information at my disposal. What you had in your mind, that's now at my disposal. And now with that information, now I can come to a better conclusion. Okay? Also, another point. Some of you may be running organizations later. Is organizations. Sometimes some of you may want to practice principles of Islamic leadership. You may have a business. You may be running a family. You may be dealing with children, right? Later on, some of you, you're going to be in a position where you're actually an Islamic leader. If you're a leader and you have a circle of influence, what we find from the example of our ulama and what we've learned from ahadith of Ahlul Bayt is the idea that we don't run a dictatorship. Right? We're not Saddam Hussein, right? This is my masjid. Not your masjid, it's Allah's masjid. Okay? Not your masjid, it's Allah's masjid. God forbid, you know, it's my baby. Right? God forbid somebody actually be doing that with a masjid. Let's say even something, it's a business. I'm running I have a family now. Do I run it only on my opinion? Nobody breathes without my permission. Right? The children... Did you share an opinion with me? No, actually, what we want to be doing is actually, no, seeking counsel from the Prophet, seeking counsel. Does the Prophet need your and I, our input? No, Prophet doesn't. What happens though, when we share with other people, there's benefits, fawa'id, to actually doing counsel, getting other people to come on the same side, making them part of the decision-making process. Right? There are benefits to that. Right? So we don't run the system where it's just a one-man show, nobody else. Even in the Islamic Republic of Iran,
When the leader, yes, there are some issues where he'll come down like a ton of bricks. He'll say, this actually is not happening. That's very rare. A lot of times he'll kind of, everybody has a role. This person is the president, this person, the head of the parliament, right? They'll go over, they'll share their opinions, and he'll guide the community in the right way, right? So now for us at on our own levels, we'll be guiding our families in the right way. But does that mean making every, micromanaging, right? Micromanaging. So I'm a father, right? Sisters, inshallah, we're on the same side, okay? But the brothers, I'm the head of the household because the man is in charge of his family, okay? So I micromanage my house. Yes, the coffee maker should be placed over here. And then I, where do we go over? We seek counsel with others. There's room for others to be able to share their opinion and to feel that they're part and parcel of the family. So we want to make sure we do that. Next point. Right, so that was the first point, just about seeking counsel in particular. Sometimes when we're facing problems, right? Let's look at the verse. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْ. When they lost hope in him, when they lost hope in the Aziz, what happened next? خَلَسُوا نَجِيَّ. They went away from the people. They withdrew from the people in private amongst themselves. They discussed the issue. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, when we're in a difficult situation, instead of us sharing our problems with the world, airing our dirty laundry for everybody, we'll seek private counsel. What happened with the brothers of Yusuf? They went away from everybody else. Amongst themselves, they tried to talk and come to a conclusion. What happens? What's a mistake some people make? Some people, the opposite, the first person was the person who internalized everything. I don't speak to anybody. I don't talk to anybody. I don't seek counsel. What happens with other people? Some people are like this. I go over and I share my information with everybody. Everybody in the masjid knows me and my husband are having a problem. Right? Husband comes in the masjid. So brother, I hear, oh my God. Right? We're not supposed to be like that. Right? If we're going to seek counsel, we'll withdraw from others. Sometimes we seek private counsel, right? Private counsel. I might need to speak to somebody on this issue. So we'll, inshallah, we'll cover some of the ahadith. Well, who should we seek counsel from? The Ahlul Bayt, even in that area, you'd be surprised. The Ahlul Bayt have given us guidance in so many areas of life. How should I live my life? We're not going to be able to cover all of the ahadith that the Ahlul Bayt have on consultation. Well, that would take a long time. We're reminding ourselves, inshallah, acting on what we do know. Allah will give us the other information. Okay, so what happens is sometimes there is a need when we're facing a problem as a family or as an individual to seek private counsel. Instead of me sharing my information with everybody, withdraw from the community. Somebody who's qualified to give counsel, I sit with that person and I speak with that person. What are some areas? There's a lot of areas where we might need counsel. A lot of areas that we might need counsel. Sometimes in spiritual matters, right? In spiritual matters, when it comes to elevating ourselves, let's say one of the mu'mineen or mu'minat says that I'd like to go to the next level of Islamic spirituality. Alhamdulillah, I'm a practicing Muslim, but what else is there? Is there anything else? I want to go to the next level of actually trying to get closer to God, to be one of the special, the elite of the imam. What should I do? Withdrawing from the community. Personal time, seeking counsel. This is my situation. What should I do? Should I just adopt these practices? I've read this in Mafatih al-Jinan. I've heard his speech. It was very inspirational. Or do I sit down and seek counsel? So sometimes in spiritual matters, sometimes in financial matters. Right? There's sometimes, let's say a lot of people over here are actually living in debt. They're living in debt. Is there a way of getting out of debt? Is there a way of us getting, let's say, to own our houses sooner than others instead of a 30-year mortgage, is there, right? Ways of getting rid of it. Why not, right? So there's other areas. Well, the point is, there are different areas in life where we might seek counsel. Now, one of the things I would like to say is this. One of the areas that I feel mu'mineen and mu'minat should concentrate on, because my primary concern for us is the idea that, inshallah, we want to prepare ourselves spiritually for the return of the imam, okay? If you've been paying attention to the direction of these lectures, this course of lectures where we've been kind of sitting with one another, speaking with one another, sharing a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, the idea is that we're supposed to, in this window of opportunity, which is known as life, right? How long are we going to be alive? 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 120 years, right? For some of you guys, inshallah, 120, right? For me, maybe 60, okay? In this window of opportunity, I want to make sure that I've done my best to get close to God. Done my best to be that ideal soldier of the Imam. So either I witness the return of the Imam, or if I don't witness the return, because I was living my life as a soldier of the Imam in his absence, it makes no difference. Okay? So, one of those areas which is necessary for us, brothers and sisters, one of those things that helps us along the cause is having a healthy relationship inside of marriage. A happy marriage, we've been talking about other spiritual principles, but a happy marriage is actually one of those things that makes it easier to go close to God. So one of those areas that sometimes we need to be getting counsel on, that needs to become part of the culture for us as mu'minin and mu'minat. We don't wait till problems get to the state. They're so extreme, by the time that people have come to meet the Maulana or the Alim, or they burned all the bridges. Right? It's like nothing left for the Maulana to fix. There have been cases, not here, right? Not here. So I'm not sharing anybody's information. Another country, another culture. They don't speak your language. Somewhere else. These people, a brother was telling me, said that this guy and the guy and his wife came for counsel. There's more than one alim sitting there to try and bring the couple back together. These guys were so upset, the husband starts beating his wife in front of the ulama. Right? So people, sometimes they wait. The situation is out of control. Right? What happens is, a lot of these problems can be fixed in marital counseling if we come earlier. If it hasn't reached the stage of contempt. I'm disgusted by this person. They said once that this couple, well, actually the husband, okay, he's going before a judge. This guy's going before a judge. And what happened was that the judge had caught him shoplifting. What did he steal? He stole a can of peaches. His wife was there too. His wife was there in the courtroom. He's stolen a can of peaches. So then the judge says, how many peaches were inside that can? He said, six. He said, well, 6 days in jail. For the 6 peaches, 6 days in jail. And he's about to hit the gavel and pronounce the sentence. His wife says, can I say something? So why not? What do you want to say? He said, I heard the sentence that you can give him 6 days for these peaches. He said, yeah. He said, well, I'd like to mention that he stole a can of peas also. So sometimes there's so much hatred involved and anger involved, right? People waited too long to go for counseling that the people aren't even looking to get it fixed. We can fix a lot of these things if the culture is there. The idea that it's not a shame for me to get a reminder. First of all, before I get married, to get some instructions on how to have a successful marriage. What have the Ahlul Bayt told me on how I should live my life successfully when I'm married? Secondly, get refresher courses. Invest something which is that important. I invest in it. I want to hear and be told again, what are my responsibilities? Thirdly, when the ship's about to sink, when I see storm clouds on the horizon, that's the time for me to go over, take some time, get some counseling, and sit down about that. Now, who should we go to for advice? Right? Because a hadith, this is from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he tells us, al-istisharatu aynul hidayah. That seeking counsel, this itself is hidayah, it's guidance. Right? So we should be doing that. But the Ahlul Bayt have also given us some instructions on who to go to. Right? We don't just go to anybody for advice. Sometimes going to the wrong people for advice might lead us into problems. Okay? Let's say, for instance, I'm suffering in my marriage, for instance, and I'm going to a non-Muslim, right, for marriage there. They don't believe our principles. I mean, some of the advice that they'll give us, I mean, they don't believe the same things that we do. So what are some of the things that the Ahlul Bayt have told us? First one. This one is from Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. Of course, we want to speak to somebody who is their area of expertise. Sometimes it's a technical issue. I want to make sure that I speak to somebody who can actually provide me with advice about this. In addition to that, let's keep this next thing in mind. It says, "Istashir fi amrika alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum." When you're seeking counsel, seek counsel from people who fear God. I want to go to one of the mu'mineen, mu'minat, or somebody, I want to see somebody, when they're going to give me advice on a personal issue, on a private issue, that I'm going to talk to somebody who fears God, who's going to do the right thing, who will tell me, not going to tell me that the solution is to violate Allah's laws. This person is God-fearing. So the first thing I want to do is to do that. The next thing, the Ahlul Bayt have also told us to look for something else. In addition to the person being God-fearing, they say look for somebody who's wise, right? Somebody who's going to give me good advice, balanced advice, right? Sometimes for some of us, let's just think about it. Sometimes for some of us, it's not a good idea for me to talk to my parents about marital advice. But they're pious, wonderful. But is the advice that they're going to give me, is that the advice that I need to hear, right? What happens is they say that an aqil person, somebody who's wise. So I'm not saying people's parents aren't wise, but say we look for the person who, in this area, could probably give us some good advice. So what's the hadith say? It says, istashir al-aqil min rijal al-wari'. So out of the people who have taqwa, then find that person who's actually wise, aware, can give us good advice. They said once that these two old ladies were driving a car. Little old ladies driving a car, can barely, a big car. They can barely see over the dashboard. And they're driving. And the lady in the passenger, astaghfirullah, the lady in the passenger side, they said that seemed like we ran a red light. Right? So she looks over, so she's decided to pay a little more attention. The next time she went, and they ran two red lights. She's like, no, this is crazy. Maybe I'm losing it. So the next time she's looking carefully, she says, no, we ran the red light again. So she turns to the other lady, astaghfirullah. She said that we ran three lights. That's going to get us killed. So the lady was like, oh, I'm driving. My point, let's go back to the serious discussion now. The point is to go to somebody who's aqil, who's wise, who knows what they're doing, can give me good advice, right? I don't want to be going to anybody, even if they're pious or practicing. Not everybody will be able to give me that wise kind of advice that I need. So the next thing, if we want to actually be successful, they tell us this. If you're going to go to somebody for advice, let's say we're going to a marriage counselor, okay? Make a decision before you go to that person, right? So it's a qualified person. This is their area of expertise. They're wise. They're religious. Make a decision where I'm going to follow that person's advice, right? Sometimes some people, the reason they're not successful in the marriage, I'm not going to listen anyway, unless they say the right things, right? Unless they tell me what I want to hear. Actually, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We have hadith. He says that the continuation of that same hadith from Imam Sadiq, talking about the idea of going to the wise, righteous person, he says that this person, لا يعمر إلا بخير. The person won't give you a command, won't tell you to do anything, unless it's something which is actually good. And then he warns about what happens if you don't listen, right? If I'm going to go for advice, and I'm not going to listen anyway. He says, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْخِلَافِ. Beware of not listening. فَإِنَّ مُخَالَفَةِ الْوَرِعِ الْعَاقِلِ مَفْسَدَةٌ فِي الدِّينِ وَالدُّنْيَا. He says that actually not listening to the advice of this person who's wise and practicing, he said actually that leads to harm in religion and the dunya. This person tried to give you good advice, right? And you say, no, I'm not going to listen. Maybe God inspired the person. Maybe they were the right person. Maybe this is something God wanted me to hear. They said the right things. I'm going to still refuse. He says it has harm for that. Another thing, we need to tell the person the truth, right? You'll be surprised. Sometimes people come in, they don't tell everything that's going on. If we found somebody who is wise, who's going to keep that confidentiality, not going to share our secrets, then explain the whole story to the person, right? Don't keep changing counselors until I get somebody who says the right things. Before even going to counsel, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He inspire the person to say the right words. Right? So these are just some practical steps that we can do about it. If we do go to counseling, let's say you bring your spouse and you go to counseling, consider it a victory that your spouse even came. Right? Thank Allah even for that. That alhamdulillah, my spouse came for counseling. That's a victory. Right? Don't destroy the spouse on the first session, right? So I finally got, we've been having issues for a long time. Me and my wife have been arguing. And now I come into the presence of the Alam. And then, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Basically, the way I'm going to describe, she's shimmer, right? I describe her. Right? No. First, let's go a little slowly. Let's get the person in, right? Not destroy the person in the beginning. But yes, we're going to need to share all of those, even our own flaws and our own problems. Even our, some people, no, my husband is like this. He's like that. He's like that. He's like that. Now fix him. Well, what do you do? What's your problem? Right? We have to be able to share these things. Now, the last point, and inshallah we'll end the speech tonight, is the idea that seeking counsel, this is actually very important for us. Seeking counsel is the, what we're trying to do is we are not trying to get into a situation where we stop thinking. Right? This is another extreme. So some people internalize. Some people share their information with others. Some people, what happens is, they get to a stage where they kind of want to be told what to do with their life. Just tell me what to do. I don't want to think anymore. No, actually, from an Islamic point of view, as I said in the beginning, this was the advice we got from the ulama, was the idea that, no, we would kind of think ourselves, right? Which is one reason they said, even with when it comes to istikhara, right? We don't, God's thinking for me. No, istikhara is yes or no. Right? I'm not sure which, what I should do in this particular situation. I did seek counsel. I wasn't able to conclusion. I thought about it myself, didn't come to a conclusion, then yes or no, the istikhara, right? But it's not that I stop thinking on my own. So actually the mu'min, with the spiritual teachers, what they're trying to do with us is create and make a situation where each one of us is actually a strong individual. I think carefully, I weigh my decisions. Yes, I do seek counsel, I benefit from the thoughts of others, but in the end, I make the decision myself. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what was said and heard in His way, that He make us true soldiers of the Imam of our time, that He protect the mu'mineen and mu'minat and the mustad'afin. Right now, we're coming up to the Quds Day rally. I hope that people do attend in full force for the Quds Day rally. We don't forget that the main enemy is Israel, right? So we ask that Allah provide relief to all the mustad'afin. And also, we don't forget our brothers and sisters in Iraq, Pakistan, other places, wherever mu'mineen or mu'minat are suffering. All of our ulama, marajin, especially the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.